It is good to have you in the Lord's house on this day that he has given us, a day in which we are very thankful for many reasons, least of which the safety of many of our neighbors to the southeast of us a little bit. In conjunction with that, I've been in contact with the district office, and we have some disaster relief funds coming our way that we will be able to distribute to folks affected down in the Chicago Park, Colfax area. So as those arrive, we'll take care of being able to help them out a little bit, those folks who are in need there. Check your mailboxes. Your mailboxes are full. Please check your mailboxes. Some of your mailboxes are full. And then join us next door after we are done. I'll update on everything that's going on. Come take a look at the deck, how we can almost get onto it. It's moving along rather well. Take a look at that. Come have lunch with us. Hear about where we're going, what we're doing, how we're getting there, and your opportunities for joining in and helping us through that last little bit. In our prayers, Frank Rodriguez had his other hip replaced on Tuesday. He's home and resting well. So we remember him in our prayers, as well as all the rest for whom we have been praying. The service is before you. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. We eat because we're hungry. Eating food brings that food into our bodies for our health, for our energy, for our growth. A simple loaf of bread has the energy of the sun, the power of the soil, the nutrients of the grain, all baked into it. And so when you eat, you release all of that good stuff into your body. But let's talk about the food that transforms you, the food that gives you eternal life, the bread of life, the living bread come down from heaven, spiritual food for eternal life. Because all other food is eaten to your death. And that's the outcome of Adam and Eve eating the forbidden food. And each of us is a part of that death. Because not even God's chosen people escaped death after eating the manna that God had given. But Jesus, the bread of life, is an entirely different kind of food in our diet. He is the bread that conquers death. He is the bread that brings life out of his own death. And he builds life forever in one way, by his death and resurrection. Jesus is the bread of life. He is daily bread. And that's why the church has never treated the Lord's Supper as something special or something occasional, but something to be received weekly, and sometimes even daily. Yet there are still those people who try to live on a starvation diet of the word and the sacraments. They try to make excuses about there's no time for church, there's no time for Bible study, there's no time for daily prayer, there's no time for devotions. But there's always plenty of time to stuff ourselves with the world's food. Humpty Dumpty, lumberjacks, Serenos, Toffanellis, Thirsty Barrel. The list goes on and on. Plain old bread just doesn't seem like much of a meal, though, does it? Word and sacrament don't really seem like much of a religion either. But Elijah traveled 40 days in the wilderness on just bread and water given by the angel of the Lord. Ordinary bread becomes extraordinary food in the hands of God when it's joined to his word that says to you, take and eat, take and drink. When the bread is the Son of God in the flesh, you have food that you can find nowhere else. I mean, notice all the exclusives in the gospel today. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. No one has seen the Father except he who is from God. No one but the Son of God can speak this way. And no one but the Son of God can make this promise. Whoever believes in me has eternal life. And so to eat is to believe. To trust in Jesus is to live on his life and death. It's to say, not my works, Lord, but your works. Not my sacrifices, but yours. Not my crosses, but your cross is what saves me from my sin, from my death, and from hell itself. I can't save myself. I can only dig myself deeper and deeper into my own grave. But you were sent by the Father to save me from that grave. And baptized in you, clinging to your promise, I have eternal life. Now I have your promise. I will raise you up on the last day. Resurrection. That's what Jesus, the bread of life, does that no other bread in this world can do. Only Jesus died and rose. And only Jesus can make this promise to you three times in today's text. I will raise him up on the last day. That's your Christian hope. Not that you have an easy and a happy life. Not that you're bailed out of every tough situation. Not that you are safe and escape every wildfire around. Not that you're successful at everything you do. Not that you're even spared sickness or death. but rather that Jesus, the crucified and risen one, will raise your bodies on the last day. Jesus is the bread of immortality. Eat of him, trust in him, and you not only live forever, but he will raise you bodily from the grave on the last day. Now, those who heard Jesus grumbled when they heard what he had to say. It wasn't the grumbling of the empty stomachs, but rather the grumbling of hard hearts, unwilling to receive the gift given. They grumbled over Jesus' claim to have come down from heaven. It's the scandal of the incarnation. God became man, a flesh and blood human being. It's utterly scandalous to our reason, to our senses, to our religious sensibilities. And it's the first thing you have to deny if you want to write off Jesus. You must deny his incarnation, that he is the eternal Word become flesh. That's what's often missed at Christmas. Christmas is about the Word becoming flesh, dwelling among us, that God is now man in the Son. And the world around us is still scandalized by this. Jesus the teacher, Jesus the family values policeman, Jesus the moral example, all of those are perfectly acceptable to the world. But Jesus, the Son of God, the infinite God in finite flesh, the Word of God incarnate, that's crazy talk. But that crazy talk is what equips us, what enables us to set aside a big part of our building, a good portion of our own treasures, for those in our community that need to be loved. Those for whom Jesus was also made flesh, those for whom Jesus also died, those for whom Jesus is also the bread of life. And it's not for recognition, it's not for self-congratulation, it isn't even really for filling our pews, but it's to love them. Because as St. Paul said, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Only the flesh and blood of God become man can save your flesh and your blood from the grave. Only the blood of God's Son can cleanse you from your sin. And so by eating, we bring in all the energy and the vitality of our food, releasing it for our life. And so hearing Jesus' word of forgiveness, hearing his words, this is my body given for you, this is my blood shed for you, and actually eating his body and drinking his blood, trusting Jesus through the gift of faith, in that, all of the energies and all of the vitality of the crucified and risen flesh of the Son of God are brought into you. Eat the bread of life, and you have life forever. Eat the living bread from heaven, and he will raise you up on the last day. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.